When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello, friends. It's Devin Simone.
Yes, and once again, I'm Davon Rogers, and this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
Davon, wake up. Where's the energy? Why do I feel like you're asleep right now?
I might be, but...
And you're wearing orange. Are you inspired by this season?
Yes.
Is that what's happening?
Because, you know, I say every season, but yet again, I was supposed to be on this season.
So you really do say it about every season. Every season.
So I am inspired. I'm there in spirit.
You're there in spirit in the orange. And by the way, can I just say, the amount of DMs I have gotten from you all, know that I can't respond to them all, but I do see them all, and I appreciate you so much. People have very strong opinions about the orange. Some people are living for it. Some people literally have just sent me emojis of no orange. You guys have very strong opinions, and I am here for it and love it. Welcome to MTV's official challenge podcast.
Yes.
We are excited to be back with you this week. Now, just to do a quick recap of what we saw. This time we had the challenge called Under Control, where they were swimming for puzzle pieces. They had to go deep, deep down into the water, pull out their piece, put it on another puzzle, take all those puzzles, attach it to a different puzzle, and then jump up and down on a platform. And they managed to get it done and add $50,000 to the prize. Woohoo! Amazing. So proud of them all. So then everybody's up for possible elimination. TJ basically says, look, there's too many dudes here, so it's going to be a guy's week. So the house votes in Huey. Huey then selects Kylan for a strategy game. And the elimination was called How I Roll. Now, as you probably guessed, the winner was Kylan, but it was a very, very close call. Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Huey. And TJ alludes to the fact that chaos is well on its way. Day, how did you feel about this week's episode?
Our girl, Big T. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Having her coming out party was so brave and so amazing.
I'm so proud.
You have to pay them.
I know, right? I was off key though, so hopefully I won't. So proud of Big T. We love Big T so much. And I'm proud of the house and how they rallied around her as well.
They were so open that was beautiful. And supportive. Yeah, that was to have that type of support, especially in an environment where it's dog eat dog, you know? So to
dog
be
eat
in
dog
that environment and still have people.
And they were
like,
committed to the support too. I mean, we saw, was it Manuel in those heels? Like, okay, bro, all right. Like, you know, get it. And James in that dress, he looked good. So proud to see that level of support. It was amazing. This episode there was a lot going on. I mean, It ultimately was a lot. We loved seeing them rally around Big T.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't realize until recently, I don't know if you knew this, but that s'mores is an American thing. We see them freaking out over it, about it in the house when
the
they have
s'mores,
that little party. Making s'mores. I didn't know s'mores was an American thing until recently. And we had them at our wedding because all of our friends and family from Australia got to try them for the first time. And they too were freaking out about s'mores. So if you go abroad, bring a s'mores kit in your bag and give
it to
someone.
What is
it?
Is the idea of burning the marshmallows or what is
it? I get just the, I mean, s'mores taste amazing. So I guess just the toasted marshmallow and the chocolate. And I don't know, but they seem to love it in the challenge house. And I know my in-laws loved it too. So that was great.
Yes.
We see Callum lying some more, you know, about being single.
Callum.
Poor Michelle. Michelle saying he ticks every box, girl.
Oh.
But he also ticks the box of in a relationship. And I know she doesn't know. And it's just so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Just absolutely.
Because the flag
hard to
is
watch.
Red. The flag is red.
It is red. Ooh. Absolutely red. Who would you say gets your timeout of the week this week?
My timeout this week, I'm going to have to give it to Corey. I can't. Because it's giving hypocrite. It's giving very big hypocrite. Because baby put up a fuss and a cuss about the girls coming together with their idea of doing these burn votes. But who was leading the charge this episode? Who was rallying up the troops this episode? Mm-hmm. Come on, what you doing, Corey? We need to have a conversation. Corey, call me. I need to ask you a couple questions.
Ooh. And then who gets your gold star?
I'm giving it to Big T. I'm going to give it to Big T. I got to give it to her because, baby, again, to be on such a large platform, you are on national television. Lots of people watch the challenge, right? Mm-hmm, you're on national television. So to come out and tell your truth and live your truth and walk in your truth unapologetically is an amazing thing. Your friends and family are going to watch, you know, and I'm proud of her. And I want you to know, as much support as you had inside of that house, you also have it on this podcast. We love you, girl.
Absolutely. And that is why Davon is wearing orange. I'd have to say, for the timeouts this week, there are three contenders, all right? The first one is going to be Corey, as you said. Because Corey, this is now episode 4, and I feel like every week Corey is in some mess. Now, I've hung out with Corey, and we had a great time. Corey is fun and, like, cool. I don't know what is happening with him. Look, his haircut is clean, but his strategy is messy this season. So we're going to need to figure it out. And it sounds like we've heard hints that it possibly gets worse. So he's up for a nominee for timeout. Then Mariah, because Mariah, girl, the fact that you are crying tells me that you know in your heart you're not handling this well. If you have feelings for James, cool. I mean, I'm just going to say that. If you have feelings for James, cool. But how you handle it, you just want to be considerate of other people the same way people should be considerate of you. And I think she knows that deep down. I think she's a good person. I think that's why she feels guilty. So she's a nominee. And then Nerissa's trash advice. Oh. All right. Look, from a matchmaker, from, I don't know, like, that is just trash advice. Yes, it's great if your friend is thriving with this new person. Yes, it's great to follow your instincts, but you still want to be considerate of other people. So all three of them are nominated for my timeout, and the timeout goes to, you guessed it, Nerissa's trash advice. That is a trash take. Throw it away. Don't ever listen to that. If you're the person you're kind of seeing or situationship isn't working for you, that is cool. But then say goodbye to that and then go to the next thing. Be an adult about it. That rule applies to anyone over the age of 8. All right. And then for the gold star. Gold star. Two nominees there. All right. The whole house for the way that they rallied behind Big T. It was just so beautiful to see.
Yeah.
Yes, that is what the show is about. I love it so much. And then also Ed. Ed, we have described him as a golden retriever before or like a Labrador. He is just this bundle of energy and so fun. Yeah. And I love him. And so since the whole house got the gold star, or Big T got the gold star for her party from you, I'm going to give my gold star to Ed. I love that he went back in there and got multiple puzzle pieces. Also, he said that he is built like a gorilla. I was just in Uganda for my honeymoon looking at gorillas. They were not built like that. Ed's legs and arms. Okay, Ed, we see you, sir. Like, yes, lifeguard Ed and the Baywatch music and the slow motion. Here for it. We love you, Ed, so much. You get the gold star. An excellent episode. Again, a lot going on. And you guys, the guest that we have this week is giving us so much tea. If you're wondering why this episode is so long, that is why. Tea upon tea upon tea. You know it's tea when even Davon gets quiet. You'll see what I mean in here.
Listen. All right. Go ahead. Get your drinks, your sodas, whatever it is you need, and come right back. Because when you get back, we will have the, what can I call him? Uncomparable. Yeah. Incomparable.
Yeah.
Huey is coming to hang out with us on the podcast.
And his clappers.
Yeah. We'll dragging that wagon.
So stay right here because you're not going to want to miss it.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Ladies and gentle friends, we have a very, very special guest for you today. His accent is impeccable. So is his personality. His swimming skills are actually pretty good too, as we saw in this week's episode. Please give it up for the King of Ireland, Huey. Hi, Huey.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. We are so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Can I just say, we try not to pick favorites in this household, but my husband has said before that you are his favorite. He thinks you are hilarious and so fun to watch. So,
yes, you're doing something right. Oh, thank you. And you know what? Can I actually be like 100% honest? That is my main objective with doing the challenges, because I have done a lot of reality shows on different networks in Ireland and the UK. So I see myself as like a reality TV person more so than maybe somebody that is innately like, I didn't grow up watching the challenge, nor did I like dream of being on it. It wouldn't have been something I would have necessarily put myself with. So my kind of like thoughts on it is like, oh, that could be fun. That could be interesting. And if I can bring a bit of humor and fun to the table, well, then that's mostly what I would want to do. So that's a job well done when someone tells me that.
You definitely do. Your personality is very contagious. Extremely
it is. It is very, very contagious. And I love, by the way, that you're just like chilling on the bed. So for viewers or listeners, we have our cameras on oftentimes with our guests. So we get to see them lounging. And I wish that you guys could see too, but it's like you're just, it's like we're just in your house chilling, Huey. Right
yeah,
now.
Definitely. This is what I'm like. I'm the same person, you know, like in person. Like I can't say the same for everyone else from the challenge and other shows I've been on. But I'm the same person. So like, I'm very, I don't know. I don't know how to just not be me.
We love that. It seems like everyone in the beginning of this week's episode, Huey, it seems like everyone is anxiously awaiting this chaos that TJ keeps hinting at. Were you excited or looking forward towards the chaos, or were you happy just being in this control portion of the game?
No, I wasn't happy in control portion at all. By the fourth challenge. And that's quite evident in this episode, because obviously they can only show so much on TV. But if you look at the scenarios when the guys was like, oh, Huey's speaking too much, it's annoying and whatever. That's because for the first three challenges and then now on to the fourth, I felt like I wasn't really getting a say in anything. And then, you know, you can't really tell somebody what to do all the time and not trust their own opinion on themselves and then judge how they do in a challenge. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So for this one, which was our second water challenge, because I love being in water, I'm actually trained as a lifeguard and all of that, and I'm so comfortable in that. For the first water challenge, when we had to make the human ladder, I was like, I would love to swim out and collect the balls. And then Jay and Kieran and all these guys like, no, we want other people to do it. And then afterwards, I was like, you took one of my biggest strengths away where I could have shown, where I could have proven in a challenge. Like where my worth is. And now this was the second water challenge, and I wasn't going to allow that to happen again. So I was sick and tired of this whole control part, because even though I'm not really somebody that would necessarily innately love sports, I mm-hmm. wanted to compete as an individual or in pairs or in teams yeah. or whatever, instead of this big, huge group thing where people were hiding in plain sight at times from not actually performing very well, which hasn't yeah. really come off in the episodes. Because as I said, they can only show so much,
right?
I.e. Callum.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Cool. Great.
So Callum, for example, definitely didn't do as well in the challenges as you would probably imagine by looking at him, because he's a guy that goes to the gym a lot. Like in this week's episode, when it's showing a selfish down and let Horacio do it, I was mm-hmm. just trying to put my own puzzle piece up.
Yeah.
And I was more than capable of bloody putting my own puzzle piece up. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That, like, I didn't need Horacio to do it for me. I was happy to do that. So, like, when it's difficult, obviously, for viewers to maybe notice certain things. But, like, as I said, Callum got his piece after I did. He got over there after I did. A lot of the girls hugely struggled in that challenge. And I don't think it mattered whether you're a guy or a girl in terms of strength or size. I think anyone could win a swimming challenge, to be really honest. So
was there a lot of endurance involved? Because it didn't look like it, that it took that right. much endurance.
So before we started the challenge, I think one of the girls pointed this out in the episode. We didn't realize how far we'd have to swim. It was really far. We thought it was maybe half this distance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite difficult, like with the swimming, but we were still fine. I mean, the people who struggled to get down there, I definitely didn't judge them at all in that respect. So I was proud of everyone, because it was far down. It wasn't even maybe people's fitness. So people get anxious. You know, you have to get down 15 feet or whatever it was, 5 or 6 meters.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. How deep was it?
I think it was one 15 feet and one 20 feet, something like that. One was shorter than the other. I can't remember. But that's quite far. You're going down in murky water. You've just swam. You're on a time limit. People get anxious. They have all these people watching them at all times. And so I understand that with people within the challenge. But, you know, not everyone is as empathetic or understanding as that.
Clearly,
but,
it seems like some of the people with the biggest mouths were the ones who were struggling in some parts of it. Which,
definitely. Yeah. So this is what I meant by people hiding in plain sight. So a lot of people is very happy to look really busy within challenges. But it doesn't really mean you're doing anything. Do you know what I mean?
Who are some other people that you would name? So you told us about Callum and Asaf. Who else do you feel on the girl's side were hide in plain sight or look busy in challenges?
Well, Nerys is one of those people, but I really do like Nerys. But Nerys is a good competitor. It's more Nerys kind of, I think Nerys has a really strong social game. And you know, one thing I'll really give to Nerys is she's got a lot of fire. Nerys will speak up and speak her mind a lot. And this is someone who I would see like in them lines. But if I were to look at Nerys, like versus someone like Olivia, she wouldn't be anywhere near the same type of competitor. Right. Michelle is really smart. And again, someone I love in the house. But Michelle wouldn't be the strongest of competitors in a lot of the challenges. But what Michelle is good at doing is, again, and I don't mean it like in a way like she's not doing anything. She's definitely involved in doing her piece. But Michelle likes to kind of take at times leadership roles, and I wondered to myself, like, is she doing that to kind of keep heat off herself, if you know what I mean? You know, getting pieces together and
being strategic. So it looks like she's adding value. I could see that as a part of Michelle's game.
Definitely.
I feel like Nerys talks a lot of game for not backing it up so much, and I feel like sets a standard for other people in the house. Like, I feel like we're starting to see that more and more in episodes, like even just how hard she came for Raven. Like, I don't know. I just feel like we see a lot of that building, but we haven't seen a lot of it being backed up. Whereas, like, we know that Olivia is a crazy tough competitor, right?
For sure. Like, but you know what I will say about the whole thing is, because again, like, you guys just see the episodes, right? I was very much part of telling others what Raven was doing, kind of playing both sides and carrying stories each side. And I'll tell you why I done that is because, first of all, I knew she was obviously fighting hard for Chauncey, which I'm not salty about. Because Chauncey's her friend. She didn't know me. She doesn't need to have loyalty for me. But when it then came around, because Chauncey would have been the second elimination, so that was the first guys. Then it went on to the third elimination, which was the girls, which was Raven and Hoo-Hooey. Mm-hmm. So why I really went around and told people like about Raven talking behind her backs or saying who she wants out and playing both sides, going from the American guys over to the UK guys and telling them everything, was she was speaking about wanting to put Big T in and all of these people that like I was close to. So I was protecting my girls. Mm-hmm. And this is why I went and told them this. So I can still understand why Nerys is getting so irritated, because Nerys, one of her strongest parts in it is being a social player and sticking to her alliance. And
yeah,
mm-hmm. I don't blame these people. I've been active on Twitter recently saying this, that, you know, the American guys forming an alliance and sticking together and standing by it is, you know, anyone with a brain cell can do that. You don't have to relate to everyone.
Hmm.
But like, I was happy to do this with the UK people and with the 37 people, like from my debut season, because it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
So what's annoying Nerys is, you know, Raven, stick by us and we will scratch your back. We're not asking you to scratch our back without repaying it. This is all Nerys kind of means.
Yeah.
You know,
and so you felt like she knew what she was doing. You felt like Raven knew that she was going against the alliance versus, because I feel like as a viewer, I'm split, because a part of it sort of came across like she didn't really realize the impact. Like she just was kind of like, she just wasn't smart in the social game. Not that she was trying to be like messy, but do you feel, having been in the house, that Raven going against her alliance in those previous episodes was her intentionally trying to be messy, or do you think she didn't know?
Right. So I'm not saying she was being messy, because maybe she was trying to create reality TV drama or anything. That's not what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is, and she kind of admitted this in part of the episode. Do you remember where she said in her interview something about Kieran, it could be good for her game or whatever?
So
she said this in the house before she went in with Hoo-Hooey, and I brought this to Kieran and told him, because I was trying to get a lot of people to vote Raven in instead of Big T or Melissa or whatever, or Bernard, that was coming up again in the second like girls elimination. I told Kieran that Raven had said, and she openly said this, and she basically proved it in her interview, that she wants to get close to Kieran so she can have maybe the UK people on her side, because she feels like she falls to the bottom. She falls to the bottom of the barrel. So I get her back was against the wall, and maybe she was trying to do something. But to be honest, from what we could see as viewers, and even me and Dear in the house, she kind of had that with the US guys. And although she might feel like I've fallen to the bottom of the barrel, she was weeks off being at the bottom of any barrel, because there was a lot of people to get through still.
Right. Sometimes
so
you can't see
it.
Sometimes when you're in it, you just can't see it.
Yeah, and it might be, I don't know, maybe it's lack of experience, because this is only her second season. And also, you need to remember too, she didn't come from TV already. She hasn't done other shows. So, right.
She's getting her footing of what it looked like, kind of what that can be like. Do you, before we move into, you know, everything else that's going on into the house, in this week's challenge, Aesop calls you a mosquito. Do you have a response to that?
Well, yeah, I do, because I actually liked Aesop in the house. And I was actually very honest with Aesop at times when he has come to me with, you know, for me voting in Chauncey, for example, he started coming at me for that. And I told him straight to his face my reasoning, and was always a very honest person in the house. So for him saying that, it's just ridiculous and stupid. He could have first of all said it in my face instead of saying it in interviews. And anyone, you know, with a brain and is anywhere socially conscious within that house could see that I was frustrated. It was the fourth, you know, challenge where I was like, in fact, it was the fifth, because we'd done the launch night one as well. And any type of opinion I had, anything I was trying to do, there was other people consistently trying to take a leadership role and not let me have my own opinion or be part of something. And for the first few times it happened, I was trying to, you know, let's remain calm. Let's not argue mid-challenge. We're trying to do this for the team. But you get on and on and on, Dennis, and you're being called weak, or you're not pulling your weight. And then you get to the stage where it's like, are you just stopping me from showing myself in any way so that you can keep calling me this? So I don't understand why Aesop wouldn't understand that, especially when me and him had, you know, a lot of deep conversations in the house. But, you know, a response to people like Aesop and a lot of the people that calls me weak in the house is, and maybe says I shouldn't be on a competition sports show. Is my opinion is they shouldn't be on a reality show because they haven't got a personality between them. I mean, if you look at the episodes shown so far, I'm probably the top five of people who gets the most airtime. There's a reason for that.
Oh,
not you clocking the numbers. I agree, though. There needs to be personality. And some people, you know, there it's the challenge is great when it has a well-rounded cast.
Yeah.
And there needs to be a personality. Now, something else that I've seen that we've seen grow. So I remember back on Spies, Lies, and Chicken Fries when you and Corey, and we talked about this, I think this was the first time we had you on Aftermath, and you and Corey kind of like, you know, went at it, and it seems your relationship has really done a 180.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about how that happened? Because we don't see that much of it in the season so far. Like, we see the outcome, but we don't see how you guys
got to this place
where you're supportive. Yeah. Whereas, and for those who don't know, go back and watch Spies, Lies, and Chicken Fries, Spies, Lies, and Allies. And then go back and watch that Aftermath episode. It's on YouTube, but it gets so bad. I believe Corey starts crying at a point. I mean, it gets pretty heated. So talk to us, Huey, about what happened with you and Corey after that season and how you guys became such allies this go round.
So after the season aired, Corey reached out to me and we just had a conversation about it. And look, you push things aside. When you're in those environments, you do really get into a bubble. But, you know, what I was really upset about last time was, like, me and Corey kind of struck a deal together and really understood one another. And being rookies and, you know, Spies, Lies and Allies was just a nightmare for rookies, how the format was going with. Remember the rookies were always getting sent in?
Yeah, they were, y'all were just,
Oh, it was just a complete nightmare. In fact, both seasons' formats have been a nightmare for me, honestly, without it been. But Corey just reached out to me and we've had this many conversations and a lot of understanding. And I get it, like his reasoning. And even Michelle was like, you know, like we were just really trying to make our way in the game. And we were just constantly falling into rookie pairs all the time. And we were just really trying to find a way of staying in the game. And they thought, obviously, that they would definitely send me home and they knew they were going in as that rookie pair. So, like, there's no grudges held. Like, I knew those people at the time, like, a month before. I didn't even know they existed. But as, like, you guys might know, like, within these types of shows and stuff, a month can feel like a year. So, you're in a bubble and you've no phone, you've no escape. It's the most weirdest feeling in the world. Until you've done this, you don't know. But it's like me and Corey had like lots of support. And I will include also, there's many things about Corey that I wouldn't necessarily agree with. Like, he might have political opinions I don't agree with at times. I know he'd done things later on in this season to friends of mine also that I didn't think was the right thing to do. But, you know, as two gay men within the game, and both of us really passionate and grew up loving reality shows and pop culture. Like, I really relate to him with that. You know, being on The Challenge, I feel so grateful for growing up watching MTV. It's a dream come true. And that I don't think everyone feels as grateful for being there. I think they take a lot of themselves that they think that, like, they just should be there. Whereas I feel very grateful for those opportunities. And Corey does also. So he's someone that I would always support whether I was on The Challenge or not again.
Oh, I love to
That's
hear that.
So sweet. I want to dive into the support because this episode right here was about supporting Big T. Oh my gosh. Like, I just want to dive right into that because her coming out party was so amazing. First of all, can we give her a round of applause? Like, I'm so proud of her for speaking
her
truth.
Yes.
And to do it on such a large platform. Like, she came out on the show. Like, that was huge, huge. Please tell us about the party and how proud you are of her.
Oh, I was incredibly proud. And I know she was so nervous. She was even, you know, she's been nervous since for the episode airing. And I'm just so happy to see someone find their truth and live their truth. Like, obviously, it's something I can relate to.
Yeah.
Something it's been part of my path in life. And the party was fantastic. And we had a great night. We were there till like 3 a.m. in the pool, drinking, like talking about each other's lives. And I found it interesting in the episode, and I need to explain something.
Yeah, tell us.
When we were doing Spin the Bottle, on the launch night when everybody was kissing each other and doing spin the bottle, I was the one who suggested, like, let's make it more raunchy. And I would do this every night because I was bored all the time. So when we were sat there and everybody was like, oh, who doesn't like beer or something? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so bored. And also, at the same time, I'll be honest, I was like, we're also making a TV show. And we're like, let's show our personality about it. Like, what would you do in a real party?
Yeah.
So this is why I was asking, like, who are you going to vote in? Who would cheat on their partner or whatever? And it cuts to Callum's face and it all makes sense yes. now why... It all makes sense now why he was dismissive.
Wait, did you not know that he was cheating?
No, didn't know a thing. In fact, it's only been like 6-7 weeks since I randomly messaged Michelle. Now it all makes sense that he had someone in the real world to whatever degree. But he was like sat there snapping at me when I asked his question. And just slightly showed in the episode, but it was more in person. And it makes sense to me now, but I was quite drunk. So I
but no, so did no one, do you think no one else in the house knew as well? Or
I don't reckon anyone else knew, because even if it was anyone outside of James or Zara, maybe Danny, I don't know. But if it was anyone else, I think Michelle would have found out. I definitely would have told Michelle.
So you think Michelle didn't know at all? You think, because we do see her ask at one point, which, respect to Michelle, we do see her ask, and he kind of like downplays it and is like, oh, not really. But then we also see him saying, I love you, to the girlfriend in the episode. Oh, so,
yeah,
you know,
Yeah, Michelle definitely did not know. And look, I will preface like my opinion. Like, I think Callum's a great guy. I know in the episode, in his interviews, like he's saying all kinds of stuff, whatever. But I think Callum's a great guy. But obviously doing that, it's so silly and it's unnecessary. And I don't even think it's creating the mess that you could even, you know, positively turn around and say, oh, look, do you know what? We don't like it in real life, but on The Challenge or a TV show, we like mess. I don't even think it's even that entertaining already. It's not like the ex is in the house.
Oh, I don't think he was trying to do it to be entertaining. I think he was being a coward.
Yeah, he definitely was backed into a wall.
Oh, Lord, I think we need to take a quick break, but we will be right back after this.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
All right, now let's get back to the show.
What are your thoughts of Mariah and James' situation?
Oh, but see, this is another thing that I didn't fully realize. So when I left the season, Bananas messaged me and he was like, oh my God, I heard you're out of the house.
And what'd he say?
And he was like, is Mariah being a good girl? And I was drunk. This was the night I got home to Ireland. So I was like less than 48 hours out of the house. And I was like, yeah, what do you mean? She's, oh, I love Mariah. She's so nice. I'm glad I met her. it all makes sense that she was seeing bananas.
And just so wait, did you tell him what he meant? You didn't know what he meant when he messaged you and asked, was she being a good girl?
No, I thought like he meant, was she being nice to me? Was she being cool with you? Because he had told me, he was messaging me before the season. He was like, I heard you're going in. And like, I hope all the guys will be good to you. I hope everything goes well. Like, I'll pass a message on to some people or whatever. So I thought that's what he was following up on.
Did you slip up and say anything?
He wasn't trying to find out if she was being nice to you. What? He was trying to find out what she was doing in the house.
I didn't realize. I was drunk.
Right. And because you were drunk, did you slip up and say anything? Do you recall? Do you think?
No, because I was like, yeah, she's just being like a good girl. She's not like doing anything wrong to anyone, because I didn't know she was seeing bananas because she never told me.
Oh, I wonder if he got the tea, because I heard on the streets he definitely found out at some point while the show was happening.
He did.
So how did he hear or find out about it?
I honestly haven't got a clue. Maybe somebody who left, I don't know, because he's done a lot of seasons. Did he hear maybe true? I don't know.
That's so sad.
I have had conversations with him about this before this happened. And I will just say that it was not as casual as she's trying to make it seem in her conversations, which I think is why she felt so bad, because she knew deep down it wasn't as casual as she was trying to justify, not taking away her feelings or her take on it. Like, if something's not right, it's not right. I get that. But I think she felt bad because she knew, like, a year is a long time to be investing time with someone, whether it's a situationship, whether it's whatever. And I also think the advice she was getting from someone in the house was just garbage. Like, pick it up, put it in the trash compactor, knock it down a couple times, bring it out, use it to compost, put it back in the trash compactor, compact it again, and then throw it away. That's how bad that advice was. But, you know.
Think, though, to be fair, as much as we're going to point out, right, this is what I thought watching the episode. Right, we're saying it's a year of seeing or dating, whatever. I think it was Olivia or somebody pointed this out, right? I get that. But if it was that strong of feelings, would it not have developed more into an actual relationship if you were doing this for a year on and off and dating and seeing someone? So maybe it was like, right, there's romance, but it's never going to become more than what it already is. And this is what I think Nerys meant when she said, you were so quick to like James this much that you'll do this, but you've been like, you were in the house for how many weeks with Johnny? She got to near the end.
Yeah. And that's fair, but it's still how you treat people. We're all adults now, and it's how you handle it. Like, her feelings are valid. And even Nerys acknowledging or recognizing or feeling like Mariah lights up in a way that maybe she didn't with bananas, that's all fair and all valid. But imagine if the roles were reversed. If that's really how you feel, then when you get that phone call for that week, you hop on that call and say, hey, bro, just got to let you know, I'm so sorry. Don't want to do this, but here's where we are. You don't do it.
I agree.
In such a messy way. And I think that's why she felt bad. I think Mariah has a heart, and I think that's why she knew felt bad about it. And I felt like Nerys was sort of saying, I mean, Nerys actually did literally say, don't feel bad. Like, don't. And it's like, no.
Here's the thing. It's to be fair to Nerys, just like you said, that she's not letting on the full story. Mariah's not letting on to the full. Maybe Nerys doesn't know what the reality of
is. I think Nerys knew more because Nerys, they're in that circle. Like, not like maybe not the full degree, but they're in that circle, in that they keep in touch more, certainly
but
more.
But you do know, guys, that early in the season, because I'm one of these people that asks a lot of questions, and surprisingly, I talk a lot.
Really?
I remember a conversation with Olivia and Mariah, because I got quite close to them, and I'm sure I asked them if they were dating or seeing anyone or who they used to date, and Olivia was speaking about Nelson, and I think Mariah said maybe she had little something with bananas the last season, but she definitely did not tell me about the real world.
Oh, like them hanging out in the real world.
Yeah, she never. Yeah, I don't mean the TV show.
For a second, I was like, wait, what does that have to do? Yeah, okay.
No, she definitely didn't tell me about, like, there was never me being told, oh, I've been seeing him on and off for a year. And I don't.
Which is why you didn't recognize that message he sent you, which is why you didn't understand when he asked.
Yeah, but you do know, I don't think anybody really, not many maybe knew in the house, because if they did, they would have called her out on it and used that as an excuse maybe to vote her in or something. I'm not sure, because people look for the most silliest of reasons. So if even the UK girls or whatever, like Melissa's friends with bananas, if she'd known that, maybe she would have called.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of vets knew, because this is one of the first things I heard when the season was done filming.
So here's the thing. With that being said, do you remember, though, she also posted that photo and the caption said she was single.
When was that? See, Devon be monitoring the internet streets. Yeah, I appreciate that. Devon,
Mariah
really is.
Mariah had posted that Instagram caption picture, and the caption said she was single. This was like,
was this?
This had to be before this season. This was definitely before this season was filmed.
Okay, I don't even remember.
She posted
days run through. Okay, interesting, interesting, interesting.
She says she was single. And so, I never thought it was a serious thing.
I don't know how many people, I think a lot of people nowadays need to use the it's complicated thing on Facebook.
Right.
Because none of these people know whether they're single or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, they need to do this with friendship, especially within the challengers, because a lot of people have said my name. I thought we're friends.
Yes.
So we need to... There's a lot of complications.
Who shocked you most, Huey, who said your name?
The UK guys. And oh my God, I've got some tea for you because...
Let's go. Give us the tea.
Right. So when Chauncey and James done their elimination, right at the end, Callum turned around and said to me and Melissa and a couple of people standing together, the US people are really working together and going to go against us. We need to start sticking together. And I was like... 100% bro, like in agreement, because like I wanted this alliance from day one. I'd been messaging people before the season, everything. And then me and James had this conversation multiple times. He was like, if you ever get sent in, don't say any of the UK guys' names, don't call them down, and they won't say your name. And me and Callum, right before we went in, I had this conversation with Callum in the tent. Melissa was standing there. That's just out. You know, at the back, like behind production, whatever. So when I got on the stage and I was like, wow, this was because I wasn't saying wow to Michelle as it looks like. It was to Kieran and Callum because they said my name when...
Because they literally told you they wouldn't before you walked out
there. Was this deal made. And then right before we went down, do you remember when there was like all the discussions within the house before we went down to the arena? James came and said the same thing to me again, and I walked upstairs and Zara turned around and went, oh, has James came and found you? Because Zara was part of that conversation also, like to tell Huey to say none of the UK guys' names. So and also when Emmanuel did, because throughout the season I'd been speaking with Emmanuel, we were first to see each other in the airport. We'd spoke on social media before this season that like, let's stick together from our first season, because we knew a lot of the ride or die people were going to do this, which is what they did do in the house.
Yeah.
So I was so shocked and surprised by that, if I'm really, really honest, that them guys had said my name. And me choosing Kyland as a partner was decided by me. And I spoke with them, with Emmanuel. I spoke with James. I spoke with Berna and Michelle, all of them. Michelle also. They were all like, Kyland is probably like your best choice because, you know, socially you don't really have a game together. You're not really connected together. You don't really hang out in the house.
Oh, they used you. They used you.
Do you think
they were going to use you to take out his? Yeah, they were using you because Kyland is big competition. So Kyland, they were going to use you to try to take him out for them. They were using you to take him out for
Think now that, like, I can understand where you're coming from, but that definitely that makes sense. But for me, nobody in the house had ever done a season with Kylan, so I didn't know what his strengths were. And again, we never done anything individual.
But when I look back now,
Kylan is so great with like strategy, and he's like,
I was thinking when you picked him, Huey, I was like, yelling silently, Huey, no, do not pick Kylan for a strategy game. That is the last thing I would ever do.
I know, I probably should have chose one of the big guys or something like that. I don't know.
James! Big Oaks. I see, I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say
James!
It.
James! He would have gassed out.
Maybe I could have.
Yeah, he would have gassed out.
But I wish now, and have no hard feelings with him, but I wish now I chose Callum, because Callum had no... Callum had only done the UK challenge, which only lasted for like 2 weeks altogether filming. He never went into elimination. So like, I kind of wish maybe I chose Callum, because I think I probably could have beat him in this elimination.
Now she's trying to send him back home to his girlfriend early.
Quickly.
I could have saved Michelle the heartache.
You could have saved Michelle the heartache. I actually feel bad now, knowing that Michelle really doesn't know. I feel terrible for Michelle. That
she
is
was
such
so
a terrible
upset.
Place to be in. That like, That is so not cool.
Yeah, she had a very cool reaction.
When you look at, when you guys see like this episode and what is going on, like, do you, like, when you look at people, like, because the way I look at it is, if I was to ever be on a future season again, like, do you think that I can even trust any of these people that I thought I was, like, actually friends with in the house? Because...
Boy, no.
You look at all the guys...
From, you can only trust you.
Yeah.
Period.
If I look at it, like, I think a lot of the UK people and people from my own season who use the excuse to trade... Like, everybody's already mm-hmm. saying your name, which I get, I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, keep heat off and whatever. But before we went down there, they could have brought me together and we could have tried to come up with a plan.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of which, before I forget, because this was interesting. So we had Berna on last week, and honestly, that conversation opened up so much about her. Like, yeah. I really adore
Berna. I love Berna.
So she said that I was shocked when she said your name at the end, right? Yeah. Initially, I was like, I can't believe that. Especially because she's like, I adore Huey. Yeah. He's such a good friend. My vote is for Huey. But then she explains that you had said... to her, she alleges that you had said to her, hey, if the train is moving and everyone's voting me, don't show your cards and just say my name. Is it true? Did you guys have that conversation? Yeah, so, and how did that come about?
This was minutes before we all walked down. And mm-hmm. I give credit to Michelle. Michelle came up to me as well. And I turned around and said, look, obviously this is what I wanted to be happening, but it feels like I don't even know how I can turn this around. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's pulling me to a side. And I was actually... respectful that these two girls had come to me and said, look, I feel like a lot of the house is saying your name, Huey. I don't even know what we're even supposed to do right now. And I was like, listen, mm-hmm. girls, I don't want you to say my name. Maybe try Burn or something. If you have the opportunity, I don't know. But if you're like at the end, which those two kind of were nearby, mm-hmm. and it's already like, I'm way ahead. There's no chance decided, to say yeah. me. Well, look, just yeah. don't be showing your cards to anyone, because I did care about them. And their game, because both of them did really try to protect me. They did really try to help me with the yeah. first guy's elimination. And even Michelle's conversation saying stuff like, if you remember in episode 2 about Chauncey, when she turned around and said, Huey has never been disloyal to me, Chauncey has. Like, Michelle mm-hmm. came to me right after that and was like, Huey, I've been speaking about all of these things because... like, I really want to keep the heat off you, and I'm trying to get people the best I can to mm-hmm. vote Chauncey in, which was hard with the whole American alliance. So
right,
I'm very thankful for those girls. And like, even like Big T, I know we didn't vote together, but I know I can really trust Big T, because Big T was very blind in this episode, because a lot of people wouldn't have the conversations about this elimination in front of Big T, because they knew she would tell mm-hmm. me back. So
right.
Big T wasn't really getting told anything by anyone to even know what's
And that's
going
a good
on.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, I applaud you so much for that, because I feel like that's what friends do. And hearing that Michelle came up to you and wanted to make sure it was okay, I feel like people always try to use this show as a scapegoat around, like, oh, sometimes you have to vote friends in, and they like blindside friends. I do think that there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And not blindside them, but you have to make tough choices, and there's a way to respectfully do it. And I think for you, Huey, you know how you just asked us, do you think if I come back in the game, which we hope very much that you come back to the game, that you asked whether or not you can trust these people. I will say this, just in my limited time on the challenge, I feel like if you can stand on the fact that you are always true to your word, that like you always give people heads up when you're going to vote them, and you always are true to your word, what'll happen is that's valuable to people, and that becomes an asset. So this whole idea of being weak, what starts to be more of a vulnerability are people that are wild cards, right? And so in the future, it doesn't mean you won't have snakes and stuff coming at you, but I think you'll feel good about the way you vote, and more people will start lining up to protect you, because they will feel like at the very end of things that instead of them having to look over their shoulder in every which direction, because everyone's telling them something different, they'll be like, at least I know with Huey, like,
no,
and I said this about Chauncey P. Jordan, a couple weeks ago when we were talking about, you know, some people were saying, oh, he's, you know, you can't trust him and da da da. And I said, I actually feel like if you're convincing, I actually feel like you probably could trust Chauncey. And I think if you build the reputation of being someone who like stands on your word and being a good friend, as you have been with like Berna and, you know, Michelle and them, I think you'll be more and more of an asset in a way. Wait, that
I know what you mean. If people were to look at multiple seasons, they can see this. But, you know, this is... I have explained this. Like, when I was in deliberation, this is what I was talking about. Like, I still don't get... And I have to really use one reason as to why I think the UK guys and all didn't form the alliance and stand together in the internationals where the Americans did. And I'll tell you why I think this is the American reality shows are very politically based. If you look at American Big Brother, Survivor, all of this, the shows in Europe have a public vote for the winner. This is how you win Big Brother and these shows. So we don't come from shows where it's about being majorly snaky
and
yeah. So when they're in this game, they're not seasoned at it. If you like, do you know what I mean? The Survivor people are so aware, and even if you were just a viewer and a fan, you're aware of this also. Yeah. So I think because of that, and like I tried multiple times, and this is the thing that I don't get is even if people thought I was weaker, I was like, but why would you want to keep Horacio around or just one around?
Right.
And why
Horacio
will always protect Highland and Olivia before he protect James and Zara and even Big T and even Michelle. I personally believe, like, if it's Nerys, Olivia, Kylan, like if these people, like he would protect them before he would protect Michelle or Jay, in my personal opinion. So I didn't know where their minds was at. I found it insane. I was like, I'm literally trying to help you guys here from being picked off one by one, which, you know, may or may not happen. You'll see like soon later on in the next episodes. But I think my ideology from day one made sense. But I just think in the UK and in Ireland and some of the European countries, because of how our shows, the formats are, where the public are so involved in every part of the game, that we're just not used to playing it how Americans are.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Do you understand that point?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think that's totally fair. You said, we overheard you say at one point, like, all this stuff is coming from one bedroom. Whose bedroom?
It was the bedroom that was down. It looked like it was down in a bunker. I don't know if this has come across on TV, but it was the bedroom where Jay and Corey Lay and all slept.
Now, that's what I thought you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, because this is where all the guys consistently went for conversations. Mm-hmm. And if you remember back in the episodes, I was never part of them conversations, was I?
Right.
So I started to notice this in the house a lot. This is where these conversations were coming from. And even if you go back to episode one, do you remember when Big T's name came up and then Jessica still called her in? Yeah, I actually was walking past there and I heard people speaking about Big T and Melissa, and Ed came out. I put this on my Twitter. I didn't say who. It was Ed who had come out and said to me, oh, we think like it might be Big T or Melissa. I was like, are you joking me? And then I went straight and told Big T and Melissa about this.
Right.
Again, from day one, trying to form an alliance, let's be ears for each other. I'd only met Melissa 2 days before this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I was trying to be all ears. Like, the Americans were sat down there all together, and most of them were men, for one, and was deciding that Big T or Melissa should be sent in.
Yeah, you had your ears to the streets. You have to do it.
Do you know what I mean? So that was the bedroom. That was the bitch room. Yeah. But funnily enough, it was full of men, but it was the bitch room.
So what do you think about all of these speeches that occurred during the deliberation about how these guys felt about themselves and how they contribute or not to the game? How did you feel about that?
You know what? On one side of me, I'm like, do you know what, guys? I'm fucking here. I'm like, let's all be brothers and I want to support you all. You're all amazing. But then I'm like, fuck you all. You're all literally putting me down left, right and center. And I'm such a man about things. If I dislike you, I'll fucking tell you. I'm not scared of any of you.
Yeah.
So like, it was a lot of dick measuring going on. I mean, if actual dicks had come out, I would have been happier. But there was a lot of that. But do you know what, girls? I was so over it by then. I was like, oh my God, I can't be bothered to say again that I'm not fucking disloyal or scared or whatever. Like, I'm like, do you know what? Fuck you all at this stage. I was so over it. I found this season so much more difficult for, even though I was only there for like two weeks or so, 3 weeks filming. From like my first season, I was there for 8 weeks filming. this season was so much more difficult. And because first season had so many incredible veterans of the show that huge, you had Ashley Mitchell, Amanda Garcia, CT, all these messy as hell people. Josh was crying every 5 minutes. So yeah. There was so much to like love that by the time we got to this fourth elimination, I was like, do you know what? I'm ready to just fucking go in, even though I still didn't say that. But I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go in, and I'm like ready to do the best I can in here. And if I go home, it's not the end of the world, but I'm going to do all I can to stay. I was sick and tired of sitting down, listening to guys talking about how strong they were and whatever. Do you know what I mean? And like, let's compete then.
Or saying one thing and doing the other. Like, we saw Corey last week going in on the girls for burn voting, right? And he's like, I think it's weak. They all want to burn vote. And what did Corey do?
Corey
burn voted this week.
Yeah, but now we have to go back slightly. One of the reasons why I got some respect with some people was when the Chauncey elimination happened, I said Chauncey's name straight up and I stuck with my alliance, even though I thought there might be a risk of him calling me down for saying his name, because me and Amber be your friends. So I was like, he might see this as disloyal or whatever, right? So James Byrne voted and Kieran Byrne voted, all these guys that are all these big competitors supposedly, and they Byrne voted for one reason and one reason only, because they wanted to get in Chauncey's good books and not be called in. Now, Kieran said this on camera. Lockie told me in the house. And I still didn't do that. I was still willing to ruffle some feathers to stand with my alliance, even if it meant getting called down there. So I get why Corey was pissed off when all of them girls then Byrne voted, you know, next episode, because again, a lot of the girls talk, you know, the big talk, but they didn't walk it that week. And when we were there, this was very frustrating, because we kind of thought this was going to happen before we went in on that girls' elimination. This then meant if none of the girls are voting someone in, the guys then had to make the decision. So this is why they'd done it. The girls actually openly admitted, this is why we're doing it. We're letting the guys make the decision, because they're thinking of the future also when the next girls one comes up again. And it also meant for a lot of the guys, we didn't know who could end up going in, because when you have like, what was it, 11 votes or something, all it takes is like three votes here, three votes here, three votes here, and you're tied.
Yeah,
like, we really don't know how this can happen. So we could lose a girl that means a lot to us. So I see why Corey then probably thought, in, you know, the latest elimination that I went into, if everyone else has been burning several times along and a lot of people are playing it safe and all of that, you know, going under the radar, Colleen and all of these people that don't have any opinion for themselves, he probably thought, you know what, I'm just going to do the same thing.
Okay. That's fair. Look at you standing up for your friends. Standing all right, Corey, we'll take it back. We'll take a step back on that particular one.
I ain't
for
stepping
you,
up. Not yet. I need to talk
only,
to Corey.
Only that one for you, Corey. We'll take a step back on that one. I also want to know, Huey, your strategy real quick in that elimination, which it was a really fun game to watch.
It was.
I feel like, Dave, do you feel like that was an elimination you would want to do? I feel like that was looked fun.
I didn't look like I could have got hurt. Well, you almost did.
Right. But well, yeah, that's true. He did. Yeah, Huey. Oh, Huey. But what was the disconnect in the beginning? And I know there's a lot going on, and this is coming from a place of curiosity and love. When you would roll the ball and just stand there like you were at putt-putt golf, and you would just watch it go to the end before you would move to go, Huey, what exactly was going through your mind at that moment? I don't know.
My strategy was very much focused on the speed I rolled the ball which end I used. Because as Kylan explained, one end was kind of a bit more like blunt or whatever. Was it like, do you know, it looked different each end. So basically how the ball would roll off would be different.
Gotcha.
I was very much focused on that. Which Kylan kind of wasn't until like his second ball or so. And then, but he was getting the strategy of running along the side with the ball, obviously getting it on time. It took me a few goes before I looked over and seen what the hell he was doing. And then I see it and I was like, go for it, Huey. So I was focusing kind of, and you know what I was really trying to do, girls, was,
what?
Do you remember in my first season where I got really frustrated in eliminated McCrory and Michelle and I was having an argument.
Yes.
This season, I was trying to remain calm. I was trying to not overthink things and focus on one thing at a time. And I know when you're in an elimination, you have to be quick about stuff. But with my personality, I need to try to think things through. I know I fell over the box, but this is probably because I was so looking at my aim.
Thinking things through, But so, you did a really good job. It was neck and neck.
Yeah,
that was...
I was shocked. I was like, he might be Kylan. Hold on.
I know. I wasn't too far behind. And I, do you know what, girls, I genuinely, seriously, I'm there to compete as much as anyone is. But I'm really proud of myself. Like, I know that on another day, I could win that on another day. I could win that probably against a lot of those other challengers.
Davon thinks you could have won it against James. That's what she said in the earlier episode.
Well, a lot of people did say to me that they really... I had a strong feeling I was going to win and that I probably could have won against majority of the guys, and that Callum was Kylan was like a really strong competitor for that type of elimination, but I wasn't to know that, because what I tried to do before I went down when I thought I might be getting called was I tried to talk to some people about different guys' strengths. Not many people really knew what Kylan's strengths were, or I don't know if they were just not telling me. I don't know. But
That means they weren't listening to the podcast. Yeah. If y'all had listened to the podcast,
you would know.
Y'all would have known.
Because he broke it down.
Talked about, he did break down being neurodivergent and how he is a great analyzer and mathematician and his strategy skills
makes me
and how
proud,
he trains
girls.
For that.
This makes me proud that I wasn't so far behind this guy. Like,
oh my God, no, Huey, you did an amazing job.
For sure.
Yeah, we're applauding. You did an amazing job.
This guy is a fucking beast, and he's huge in person. Like, he's a big guy. And he's like the most gorgeous man you've ever seen. I don't know if you've met him.
it's because he sleeps in that silk bonnet. That will do it
every time. I know.
I'm telling you, when you picked him, I said, Kylan about to go down there and do wind times air times speed. Like, he about to do the math.
Right.
And get the ball going.
The Pythagorean theorem. What is it, the Pythagoras' theorem or somebody's theorem?
You do know as well, girls. One of my reasons for saying Kylan, and I said this in one of my OTFs, I had a few situations with Kylan in the house that didn't air where he kind of was a bit snappy with me. And I feel like he got easily frustrated. And I don't know if this is maybe part of his personality with his autism. And because I've got ADHD also, and I can get frustrated in scenarios. And I thought to myself, this is one of them games that, you know, anyone could win. Anything can happen. You could have a guy and a girl in there. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And I thought maybe Kylan would get frustrated. But you know what? That was true, because in the end, he was starting to get slightly frustrated.
And you were staying calm. And you were doing... Yeah. It definitely was day and night between last season, your performance in your last season, and now, and how you were, you just like kind of took the advice, you took each step,
took
and you were staying really calm. We are very proud of you, Hugh.
Thank
very
you. Much.
And my husband hasn't seen this episode. I told you you're one of his favorites, but I know when he would see it, he would be very proud of you too, Hugh.
And girls,
proud.
My big booty looked good when I was running in them shorts.
I didn't want to say that, but can I say really, Huey? It did. I was like, Huey's clappers, okay? Like, yes, it's very good.
The wagon. Was wagging in.
Yeah, you
okay?
call it wagging. Why do you call it wagging in America?
Because it drags.
Because you pull a wagon. Because you know, like a wagon, you have the handle in the front. So you were dragging the wagon.
Oh, I hear it. I get it.
So now that
so good.
The dust has settled, we are sad to see you go. But you have a lot of friends, a lot of allies inside of the house. Who do you want to see the win this?
Yes. And who would you be mad if they do win?
So Big T is obviously my favorite person in the house. 100% my favorite person in the house. Berna also. Berna is, she's so loyal. Even the last few days, she's been messaging me about episodes that have come out where she's like, have you seen, like, I've really had your back. Michelle, I love Michelle. Like, even, I wasn't being shady when I said earlier that she tries to look busy in challenges. Michelle's a beast. She won Survivor. But, you know, I would have loved to see a lot of them do really well. You know, one thing that I found a bit hurtful at the time, but I'm fine with now, was the fact that James sat in the deliberation and was like, even just said my name, because that's enough for people to jump on a bandwagon.
Of course.
And it kind of started then. And then, so I was at the time hoping, I was like, oh my God, I'd love to see James do really well and whatever. But Big T is my number one, her and Berna for sure, definitely.
Who would you be crushed
we love
if they won?
Yeah, if they won. Who would you be mad?
be mad if they won. Let me look to that lineup. I don't know. Do you know what? I'd be excited for them all. There's no one who I hate on the cast, right? I don't have any hatred towards anyone on the cast or anything. I don't. And I would.
So
be
you'd
honest,
like to see Callum win if he wins. You like to see Callum win.
Well, I wouldn't be as ecstatic if he won or Kieran won or if Raven won. If Raven won, Callum won, Kieran won. Who else? Like, I didn't. A lot of the, some of them I didn't even have a relation. Oh, Zara, hold on.
Oh, yep.
Oh, hold up. I am fucking irritated with Zara, by the way. So, yeah, she'd be the person who I'd least like to see win.
Wait, why are you irritated?
Yeah. So, Zara, I actually find this quite a cruel thing to say because I wouldn't deprive anyone of an opportunity. Zara was within the house. Saying that I don't even deserve to be on the show. I shouldn't be in the show. I'm taking up someone else's place because I'm not a sports fan and I'm not a big gym user. I think that's disgusting to say because I believe that I'm an asset to the show. I try my best in my interviews. I had multiple conversations with people in the house about where to come from. I try to have a good time. I compete.
Did you hear her say this directly or did someone tell you that she
said
this? Big
T told me she said it and I know how it's true. And I'll tell you why I know it's true is I had a conversation with Zara. This is the part where I find it was quite wrong what she done. I had a conversation with her at the pool and we're talking about her life and all of that. Yeah. And I got up to leave because a member of production came to get me about my interviews. And we were trying to reschedule because I was sick. I lost my voice. And I got up to leave. And when I left, Big T was on like another Sun Lounger. And Kieran and Lockie was there. And on camera, she said this to Kieran and Lockie, like, Huey shouldn't be on the show. There's others that deserve to be here more. After I'd just been speaking to her. And then Big T came and got me right afterwards. It was like, oh, do you want to come work out? Let's do some swimming and stuff together. And that's why she'd done it, was because this is what they've been saying about me.
Wow.
Which I find quite, like, I find it because, look, I could be shady and stuff and turn around and say, like, I personally don't look at someone like Zara and find her an interesting character. That she, there's a lot of substance to her from a TV standpoint. I don't. On this season, I didn't have as many moments, let's call them, as I did my debut season. But that's got to do with the people that was within the house. They were so serious. Mm-hmm. Everything was just constantly serious. Nobody seemed to want to have a good time. If a person said boo out of mistake, this was enough of a reason to send people in. So therefore, nobody was even speaking their mind. Just not my vibe at all. So I look at someone like Zara and others and I think to myself that you shouldn't even be on something like The Challenge, because to me, The Challenge wouldn't have lasted 40 seasons if we had good competitors.
And you're 100% right. And this just proves she hasn't watched the show. You need personalities on there. Sure. I was not known as a physical competitor for sure, but made it to two finals. So
different kinds of finals. They're not the flagship show finals. There were like a lot less weeks filming. You have a big group of friends.
No. I'm saying she was. I'm saying I was on flagship finals and I'm a personality. I am not an athletic player by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, right. So
that's a trash take. Her take is trash. Everybody's entitled to at least one bad one. But if we have her on the podcast, we will definitely ask about it. We may even have to have you call in, Huey, because you have so much. Yeah, and Davon, don't forget. Davon literally watches the streets.
Listen.
So be careful what you tweet, what you say, what you put on Instagram, because she will find it and bring it back up. We may have to call you in future episodes, Huey, because you got so much tea.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. In the meantime, if someone wants to keep up with you now, if they want to, you know, appreciate your clappers or your wagon, or they just want a little bit of that Huey flair, where can they find you on social media? Where can they follow you?
So Huey Mon Official on Instagram. I've got Twitter, Facebook, all the same. And I'm starting to get into TikTok. A little bit now, and I might do my own YouTube channel or something so I can sit there and just speak crap all day long for whoever wants to hear.
We love it, Huey, and we love you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and thank you for your contributions to The Challenge. You are fun to watch.
Yes.
You are interesting. And people like to see people that they can identify with.
Yes.
It's very much like Kylan said in this episode too, and why he felt motivated to stay. It's like there needs to be diversity. People need to see people like them. And not everybody watching the show goes to the gym 60 times a day. So seeing people that I definitely still don't. So seeing there's one in my building and I pay for the membership and I still don't go. It's a whole thing. But anyway, so definitely we appreciate seeing you, sending you so much love, Huey, and you'll definitely be back. Even TJ talked about how much he loves you, and that right there, I think, speaks volumes.
I love
it. TJ loves you.
Me and TJ Instagrams. I like TJ. And you know what, girls? Can I just say, if I don't come back, I still do other TV work all the time, and I'm grateful for my time. And
we love that, but you're coming back, Huey.
We'll see what happens.
No, you're coming back. No, you're coming. They're going to call you, and you're coming, and we're excited, and we'll have you back on the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here, Huey.
Thank you, girls. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whew, baby, that right there, too much tea for me to handle. I can't, baby,
girl.
Look.
I didn't think I'd ever see the day that it was so much tea for you to handle. You were trying to swallow it
baby,
down.
Baby, he gave me a run for that my money. I'm at the...
He sure did.
Get my life right. Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm so glad Huey came to hang out with us, gave us everything we needed and more. Okay. Now, if the people need more of you, where can they find you on the socials of the media?
Well, guys, you can find me on a recent episode of Catfish. Just going to throw that plug out there. Go check it out. It is available, co-hosted with Neve. A lot of fun. Shout out to the Catfish team. But you can find me on my website, devinsimone.com. That's Devin with a Y, Simone with an I. Also, to clarify, I was not the Catfish. If you scroll down to the bottom, you can see my different social handles. I am most active on Instagram, but also on Twitter, too. Feel free to slide in my DMs. I don't always respond. Sometimes it's a lot, but I do see, read, and appreciate the love. Also, type in Devin Simone and Amazon, and then follow me there. We do live chats. Shout out to Challengers. There was one last week we said hello to, so always love to do that. We can shop and have fun together. And then, of course, if you're single, you can always be in the database or work with a matchmaker. So click on the matchmaking tab on my website. Day, the one who's in the street. So now know, though, if you guys go and follow her, she may be looking at your stuff and keeping tabs the same way she does everybody else. And we love her for it. Where can they find you on social, Day?
Well, you can find me at the Catfish headquarters trying to make them make you a permanent host so that I can come on, too. Let's start there. Then you can also find me in these Twitter streets at DayDayVon_, Instagram DayVonDiane_. I already said Twitter. You can find me on YouTube. Yes,
you knew she was gonna tell that lie. Y'all knew.
You can find me.
When was the last time you posted a YouTube video?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I'm proud of you.
So you can find me on the, it wasn't a video, it was a short, but you can find me on the use of tubes at DayVonDiane, and then on TikTok and Tavon Diane. So yeah, you can find me all over the social media worlds. And then you can also find me right here on this podcast with the beautiful Devin Simone. And thank you. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of MTV's official challenge podcast. And remember, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and tell a friend.
And catch new episodes of the challenge Battle for a New Champion on MTV.
Yes. And we'll see you back here right after for a brand new episode of MTV's official challenge podcast.
That tea was so hot, I think I burned my hand.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm late. I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.